Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned already a couple of times, the text is the gospel lesson for this day. I see it all the time. One of the most agonizing experiences that we might have is when we see someone suffer, especially if it's somebody we love. It can be heart-wrenching. You wish you could do something to help. But worse than that is when someone we love is suffering because of their own poor choices or their own bad behavior, especially when they won't admit it. While there isn't a lot we can do, our heart aches because we love that person. Jesus, at this particular text, the situation described in this text, which was the Feast of Tabernacles, was in agony. The Feast of Tabernacles was an 8-day commemoration, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, which celebrated God's goodness, remembering how God had provided for his people in the wilderness, especially with the track we're taking in this sermon today, how he had provided water where there was none. The people of God headed out into the wilderness away from Egypt and their slavery in Egypt in order to be the free people, and they were headed to the promised land. But there was a bit of a journey. It actually turned into quite a journey because they disobeyed God on more than one occasion. And in the midst of that journey, they were living out in the wilderness, in the desert, in a place where there was no real resource. And in many cases, there was no water. They would walk and walk and walk, and there was no water. And finally, they got to one particular point where they were so thirsty, and the animals that they had with them were so thirsty that it seemed like they couldn't go on. And they cried out to God for water, and God answered this by commanding Moses to strike a rock right there in the middle of the desert. No water around at all, but suddenly water gushed out of that rock. God wanted to teach his people through this lesson that he was always going to provide for them. They should always trust in him. No matter how bad things looked, they should never doubt him. And so in order to commemorate this protection of God and this provision of God of the water in the wilderness and his care for them through the entire 40-year period of time, the people of God would gather together in the city of Jerusalem and in around the city of Jerusalem for this Feast of Tabernacles. And on the last and greatest day of the feast, they would gather together in the temple, and there would be water rushing about to remind them of how God had provided them with water when he was in the wilderness, and when they were in the wilderness. And all of this, for 1,000 years, faithful Jews made this trip every year for this Feast of Tabernacles. And not only did they do this for the celebration, and not only did they do this to be reminded that God was one day going to send Messiah to them, but they were actually hoping that when they were at this festival and it reached its fevered pitch, that Messiah would reveal himself to them. So I want to bring you back to the agony that was on Jesus' heart at this very moment. His ministry had been going on for well over 2.5 years by the particular time that he celebrated this festival. He'd been preaching, he'd been doing miraculous signs that all pointed to the fact that he was the Messiah that had been sent by God the Father to save them from their sin. He openly stated in one form and then another that he was the promised fulfillment of all of that Old Testament prophecy, that he was sent by the Father to redeem the world from sin. And constantly he was met with rejection. The religious leaders rejected him. And St. John tells us in this gospel, in a little bit of a different part of the chapter, that at this very festival, even his own brothers rejected him. I can only imagine how much this rejection must have hurt Jesus. By his own people, by his own family. But nevertheless, Jesus had come with a purpose. And his purpose was that springs of living water, the forgiveness of sins, and life in the name of God were available for all of us who are thirsty because of our sins to drink. And so here's Jesus in the midst of this temple celebration. Water pouring out around the altar. Have this picture in your minds. Water pouring out around the altar. People there to remember God's provision in the wilderness as he kept his Israelite people safe. And it was a raucous celebration. The trumpets were sounding. People were singing loudly. And it was in the middle of that that Jesus stands up and in a louder voice says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Jesus was basically and effectively announcing that he was the fulfillment of all of that, all of those years of anticipation that Messiah would reveal himself at this festival. Jesus demonstrates here the love and the compassion of God. God wants all people to be saved. Jesus is not going to give up just because he's rejected by the nation, he's rejected by the leadership of the people at that time, even rejected by his own family. He's going to carry through. He's calling all who are spiritually thirsty to come to him. And he boldly claims that he is the source of salvation. He is the true living water. St. John goes on here to add that Jesus said these things, quote, about the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were about to receive. That was a commentary that Pentecost was coming. But it hadn't yet had a chance to come because Jesus hadn't yet died and risen from the dead and ascended into heaven. All of those things were necessary prerequisites for the coming of the Holy Spirit to launch the Christian church into the whole world. That's what we celebrate today. The day of Pentecost, you heard in Acts chapter 2, was the description of that day. Jesus spoke these words then at the Feast of Tabernacles. And St. John goes on to describe, the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Death, resurrection, ascension, and so forth. The Feast of Tabernacles mentioned in our text was just about 6 months. It's in the fall of the year. Think about October, maybe early November, just before the great festival of Passover, which was then again in the spring of the year. So five, six and a half months from one to the other. And when Jesus attended this festival of tabernacles, it was the last great festival he would attend in its entirety. Because by the end of the next Passover, that next spring, Jesus would be the sacrificial Lamb of God who would himself be sacrificed on the cross to pay for the sins of the whole world. And so, in this way, Jesus fulfills our spiritual thirst, the spiritual first thirst of all creation, by being the substitute under God's wrath and God's condemnation so that we could have our spiritual thirst quenched. Think about this. Jesus is the source of living water, and yet as he hung on the cross, bleeding and dying for the sins of the world, as one of the Psalms predicts, his mouth was so dry that it was as if his tongue stuck to the side of his mouth. You ever been that thirsty? When I visit people, I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago. I visit people in the pre-surgery area of the hospital sometimes. They would kill for even a slight drink of water. Sometimes people that are what we call NPO, nothing by mouth, you take that one of those little sponges. And I've seen patients just take this sponge and take the sponge. They are so thirsty, they can't stand it. And so here is the source of living water. Jesus himself, who was the God overseeing the safety of the people of Israel in the Old Testament as they were wandering through the wilderness and providing water for them in that way. This same God was hanging on the cross, dying of thirst. Dying on the cross to save us from our sin. And then, of course, you have the crescendo of all of that. Jesus gives up his spirit. He says, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And then the soldier comes along with orders to break the legs of all three so that they would die quickly before the Passover. But he sees that Jesus is already dead. And because there was an Old Testament prophecy that said that no bones would be broken, instead, the soldier takes his spear and pierces Jesus' side, and out of that flows blood and water. the blood of Jesus Christ that covers us from all sin. And it's no accident that water is mentioned as kind of a foreshadowing of the waters of baptism, which has been flowing ever since to bring people into the family of God and to bring them the gift of the Holy Spirit, given as we celebrate on this day, to bring us to faith in God. Jesus gives the gift of the Holy Spirit to all who drink from him, to all who believe his gospel, to all who receive him through the promises of his word and the sacraments. One could say that each Sunday is kind of like a Feast of Tabernacles for us. Each Sunday is kind of like a Feast of Pentecost. Because you receive the Holy Spirit each time you hear the word of God. Each time when you do hear that word, it's bringing the good news of Jesus, that he died to save you from your sins, to quench your spiritual thirst. People throughout the world today are hearing the gospel proclaimed in their own language, just as they did on the day of Pentecost. It is only through the Holy Spirit's saving work that anyone is able to recognize that they truly are spiritually thirsty because of their sins that would otherwise separate them from God, and that they come to the waters of Jesus and receive the quenching of their thirst, that they receive his merciful forgiveness in the waters of baptism, in the words of the absolution, and in the very body and blood of Jesus that is here available to us, shed on Calvary's cross and now made available in the sacrament. It is the Holy Spirit then that keeps you in faith in Jesus. The law of God stands before us to remind us of our spiritual thirst. The problem is that our sinful nature does not want to run to Jesus. We want to do it on our own. We want to find a way to quench our spiritual thirst without him. And unfortunately, we end up sometimes doing that in all the wrong places. Don't deny your brokenness and spiritual thirst. Don't pretend that everything is okay as you secretly tried to hide the guilt and the shame and the pain of your sin. Don't fill the emptiness of your soul with unhealthy relationships, or consume your life and time working for things that will eventually be destroyed, or mask your pain through drugs and alcohol. Rather, hear the invitation of your Savior. Come, come to Jesus, the living water, and receive his mercy. Drink deeply and often of the wonderful water that your Savior provides for you. He will fill you, not just with a couple of drops. That's what I was experiencing as I was driving up the Mansfield Road, and then the rest of you got drenched after that big deluge came this morning. And that deluge is more like what Jesus provides. An absolute overflowing river of the power of the Holy Spirit. Refreshed and renewed from Jesus' heart of living water, that means that out of your own redeemed heart will flow the Spirit, which will bring God's mercy and grace into the lives of people that are around you. That's right. As you are blessed with living water, you will bless those around you. Your family, your neighbors, people you may not even know. That's how it was with the first Christians. The first Christians became Christians, and they were living out that Christian faith, and people were looking at them saying, "What's got into you anyway?" If that happens with you, that's your chance to speak about Jesus. And you can invite people to come here to drink from the water of life that comes from Jesus. You can invite them where Jesus quenches our spiritual thirst and enables us to be our own rivers of living water, where the living water of the Holy Spirit flows through us into the lives of others around us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.